Get Ruined Dits for Breakfast. Weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruined Dits for Breakfast catch-up at triplem.com.au.
Hello, good morning on this Monday. How are you, Roo?
Oh, fantastic, Dits. What sort of, this is up there with grand final week for me this week.
It's Cup Eve.
Cup Eve. You think about the Cup all day. You watch replays of great horses winning the Melbourne Cup. And you're allowed to go to the pub tomorrow and you can't get told not to, or you don't have to be home early. So.
Hey, we've found a bloke who's picked 22 of the last 24 winners.
Not this is serious. How'd you get his number?
No, we've got him.
Really?
Well, we're chasing him down, but this is his claim to fame.
Chase him. I'll chase him down. He's done that. He won't get away.
Nah, pin him down.
Yeah. Where'd you find him, Diz? In Melbourne on
our
the weekend?
Our boss here found him. He's online or he's on Facebook or something. But 22 of the last 24.
Bloody hell.
Unbelievable.
He must be loaded. How many is he picking up?
He
doesn't have 10 horses in the race,
well,
does he?
We'll find out how he does it.
How did Flemington go on the weekend? Good?
Oh, it's good. Big crowd.
Lots of roses.
Lots of fascinators. Lots of, you know, at the end of the day, shoes in hand.
Yeah.
Walking out.
Where were you in the members?
A lot of tears. No, just down the front there on the lawn.
Under the umbrellas.
Mixing it with all the people.
Yep.
Yep.
Beautiful.
No, it was good. It's good atmosphere.
Brilliant. Oh, well, good week coming up, Dits. Really good week.
Yeah. Hey, Roo, should we have, you know, if you go to Macca's these days, everything on the board says kilojoules next to it. So you know just how bad things are that you're eating.
Make you feel real
or how
good.
How good.
There's
a push on to do this everywhere, to make it compulsory. So imagine if I go to the Alma tomorrow for the Melbourne Cup, that everything on the menu will have the nutritional explanation.
We're going to ride on a pint of beer as well, are we? Or?
Well, where does it end?
Mm.
Yeah. Cappuccino. But a lot of people think this is a good idea and,
if it's going to help people understand what they're eating or drinking, it's probably not such a bad thing.
Yeah. So we might talk about that a little bit later on. Hey, things you should never, ever say to a pregnant woman. Now, I've just read this, and I'm very, very guilty of this. Apparently, you know, simple things like, oh, gee, you must be due soon. Like, in other words, geez, you're huge. No, but I didn't know. I didn't think that was defamatory or whatever. I thought that just means
the way you say it.
Yeah, you must be close or whatever. No, apparently you're not allowed to say that. God, you having triplets or
what about girl. What about what you said to a pregnant lady one day?
Yeah, and she wasn't pregnant. Yeah.
You're not meant to say that.
That didn't go too well. No, and I rubbed her. I'd had a couple.
Oh, you're
you having another one? How good's that? And she went no.
Oh,
anyway. Right,
catch you later, guys. Catch you later.
Good to see you.
I'm going to go home.
Anyway, these are the things we'll talk about this morning on Cup Eve, 6:07. Ruined Dits on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast, 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on Triple M. What's making news, Roo?
Well, I watched the Sunday night program on Channel 7 last night just to watch the story about the girl, Brittany Dwyer, how she killed her grandfather. Probably last year, I think it was. It's just unbelievable to think a granddaughter could do that. They sat looking at family photos for the hour prior to her killing her. Sat and had a look at all the, you know, her sitting on her dad's lap and all this sort of stuff. And basically, she did it to knock off the money that he had in a shed. He had $100,000 in cash in a container in his back shed. And her friend had sort of gone off the rails a little bit and basically, stabbed him in the neck and chest and everything in the hallway, and then put him down, helped him bandaged him up, and sat him down. And then she went and did the dishes while he just sat there and died. It was an amazing, amazing thing to watch about how a young girl could turn from a beautiful young girl into a psychopath.
How did this girl,
Brittany,
turn into a monster?
What are the signs that I missed?
She murdered her own grandfather, then went back to doing the dishes.
It was my dad. My daughter killed him.
What?
The anger that's inside. Never did I think that she was dark.
There's lies. We were there together with his killer.
Now, I watched a bit of it last night too, Roo. Something else, they were hiding something as well. Her friend, who apparently sat outside in the car whilst this was going on inside the house.
Yeah.
I don't think she was just, I'm only guessing, she wasn't revealing everything, I don't think. She looked like she was holding something back.
Yeah, not sure. She was a funny thing too. She was almost like she was smiling on the TV, which would have really upset a lot of people. You know, I know people can do that when they're nervous and stuff, but yeah, she wasn't quite right. But yeah, these girls were normal kids until, you know, they're teenagers, and then something obviously went wrong in their brain. And yeah, like this grandfather loved the granddaughter. They were quite close. And these girls drove from Queensland down to do it, and then actually went back to Queensland because they couldn't get into the shed to get the money. And then she come back with another girl and did the murder. It was frightening stuff. I feel so sorry for the mum who did lose the dad and also a daughter. It would have been horrific.
Awful story. It wasn't good viewing, I can tell you. Let's talk about something a little bit brighter, shall we? Now, this is how we ended the program on Friday.
Melbourne race one, number 7, Lavendi. I've heard a rumour it's going to win the first.
Right.
On Derby Day tomorrow.
What's it paying at the moment?
About $4.
About $4. Yeah. Get on now before Roo has his bet, everyone. That's the only advice I can give you. Because once he has a bet, it comes into about $1.80.
Okay.
Now, they reach the 200, Sambro moves up on the outside to claim Gaul, while Lavendi's out. Irish Vega and Relsun runs on. Sambro at the 100. Lavendi is chasing. It's Sambro. Lavendi on the outside moves up with Irish Vega. Lavendi takes the lead. Lavendi from the Carbine Club. From a photo, Irish Vega was there with Sambro.
There you go.
You now get one right every now and then.
That was our rumour segment. Can you keep the rumours coming?
I'll keep trying to find some rumours for tomorrow. Later on in the show, perhaps, but two of my mates own that horse and they are very, very happy. So good to get off to a good start in race one, Dick.
Yeah. Hey, now, this last international story of note is yours. You go with this.
What's that?
This last story.
I haven't got that story.
I think you have.
No, I haven't. I haven't, Dick, honestly. But Alice said, no, I don't know enough about it.
Come on.
I'm serious. I don't know enough about it other than to say that... Alice wanted to talk about a kitten that was born with no bum. Right?
Right.
So
tell me more.
No, true. It's there's been a cat that's been born with no bum, and they need to do an operation about it soon. Otherwise, when it gets a little bit older, it's going to be in a lot of trouble. Do you know any more about it?
Only that the condition is quite serious. You got a feel for this kitten. It's called imperforate anus. This is serious. I'm reading this, and the surgery is very risky. The cat's name is Cluck.
So we Cluck.
Wish, yeah, we wish Cluck all the best.
But what are they going to have to create a bum for it?
Mm.
Right. Okay. So is this going to be now a segment about how expensive it is to own pets?
Could be.
Because I'm predicting this will be a multi-$1,000 bill.
Mm. So it's on, and they are actually raising money for it. At the moment, they've raised over $9,000. It's in LA, of course. It's in the US.
Right.
But haven't heard of that before.
No, a cat with no bum.
No. And apparently when the cat went in for it,
Oh, no. what did it say?
No, this isn't a joke or anything. This is true. But basically, you can just say where you want it, can't you? Where would you like your mum? Well, about there will do. You just pointed.
I thought you were going to say it's a nasty little bugger. Yeah. That one. But so, all right, we'll get some more information on the cat with no bum.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Time for our Monday phone in on 133353. Do you want to go to our first caller, Ruud?
Yeah. Hello. Good morning.
Could I have come, boys? It's Murray on the Murray.
Hey, Murray. Like you got a bit of a cold or something, Muzz?
You don't know what the weather's doing up here, you know, anyway, look, I'm not ringing up that about that, and I'm definitely not ringing up for an argument.
No.
But you know what happens when, you know, it's Melbourne Cup Day, on Tuesday in Melbourne, we're on the Murray. Is it a public holiday in South Australia?
No.
Is it a public holiday in New South Wales?
No.
Well, when I was talking to the postman.
Mm. Yeah.
Is he the real postman or is that his nickname?
Well, the postman, he's a bloke. He's good at training, but he never delivers on match day.
Oh, right. Okay, so that's his nickname. Never delivers, righto.
So anyway, if I walk over on the Murray, I'm not going to work.
What do you mean?
No, you don't have to.
If I go to Victoria, I don't work. So I just say...
Right.
I just, if I'm working on a construction site, I say I'm working in Victoria on Cup Day.
Right. So I suppose you're in a town like Albury, one side's New South Wales and one side's Victoria.
Ditch, you know what? You are a Theodinkum Junior.
Thank you. So just say that you're working in, where you're working in, Wodonga.
Mildura.
Yeah, Mildura, that's right.
So what you do is you just say, I'm working in Albury on Cup Day.
No, yeah. Albury's New South Wales. Go to the other side.
Right. Yeah, well, that's right. You go to the other side. So then you don't have to work.
That's right. I'm with you. Yep. Nah,
So anyway, the other thing is I want to talk about with that sort. Well, like, what time is it in Perth?
They're 3 hours behind Melbourne, but 2.5 hours behind us.
Now, if you're living on the border of New South Wales, and then you go to Queensland, you've got a job and you say, I'm sorry, I'm late.
Yeah. Right now I'm with you. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking
about? Yeah, no, it's good. I'm
just
glad we spoke to you this
off,
morning.
Will you? In all states.
It's confusing us, yeah. And then if you go to Northern Territory, they're not on daylight saving either. It gets confusing.
I once drove to Tennant Creek just to have a day off.
Right. Gee. All right. Thanks for calling in, Murray. Very informative. Let's go to our next caller. Hello, good morning.
Good day, boys.
Tex.
How you going?
Good. Hey, how are you, Tex? Been in the Maldives, Tex.
Oh, yeah, I have. And I don't know about this this girl with a medal.
Yeah.
The medal is a medal. I don't know what you do with them. I don't know where you put them. Mine's in my sock drawer, you know.
Mm.
What do you think, boy?
What are you talking about, the photo?
Yeah.
Well, you haven't got a medal, have you?
I just think.
You nearly got one.
I won one in Broken Hill.
Oh, right. Okay.
You're going back there for a bit of success.
It's in the sock drawer, and I just think to any young people out there, I reckon, just if you're going to win a medal, just don't have a photo taken with it.
Righto.
Anywhere.
No. Good advice.
What do you think?
No, good advice. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Anyway, I was talking to one of my mates, and he started a bonsai business.
Yeah.
It was so successful, he's moved to a smaller premises.
Right. Thanks, Tex. Let's go to our next caller. Hello, good morning.
Hello, Roboy. Hello, Dave.
Tommy Tide.
Hey, Tommy.
I love you, boy, you know. Yeah. What I like about South Australia, do we have Melbourne Cup? Do we celebrate that? You know that the winners and connections, what they do, if they win the Cup, like Caulfield Cup, they go to the Cox Plate, they go to Derby Day, they come to Chinese restaurants.
Yeah,
they do.
You know one horse who come? We had one winner of the horse, you know who the connections? He did not even win, but they come to my restaurant.
Who?
Poo-hole.
Right.
Who?
The horse called Poo Holes. Yeah,
that's right. They come there and the connection, I say, what are you doing here? You did not even win. In Moffatville, it came about seventh.
Yeah.
But you know what happened?
What?
After they eat Tommy's, they experience the same thing as them or the horse.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's what happens when we go to your restaurant. Yeah.
Oh, tell me.
Yeah. I'll come to my restaurant. You have not seen your boys ruined it.
Well, just remind everyone, what's it called again?
It's called the New J Imperial Rickshaw Mandarin. Even Tommy forgets something.
Right.
Speaking of.
All right. Thanks, Tommy.
See you, mate.
Righto, Tommy. Down there in Goodyear Street. We like to go down there on a Friday and catch up with Tommy. He's forgotten the name of his restaurant. Hey,
he's had a busy weekend.
You know, there's the famous baseball. His name was Pujols. Pujols. Now, you and I would probably say Pujols or something, but they pronounce it's a silent J, Pujols.
Wow.
And someone here picked up on it and called their horse Pujols. That's what he's talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Pressure point!
Ruined it. $1,000 pressure test.
Okay, on this Monday morning, let's head to Mitchell Park. Who have you got there, Roo?
Got Dan there. How are you, Dan?
Yeah, good day, mate. How you going?
Very, very well, mate. $1,000 would be handy around this time of year, wouldn't it?
Bloody oath it would be, yeah. You're not wrong.
What are you up to today?
About hanging some copper on the wall.
Hanging some copper
on
the walls.
Tell us more about that.
I'm a plumber, mate. So, yeah, just running some water mains and gas mains. So.
Now, is it true there for a while that copper was getting knocked off all the time from houses? Isn't it quite valuable?
still is a bit. So, yeah, you've got to sort of judge when you put it up. Otherwise, yeah, you get knocked off.
Still, right, eh? All right. Mm. Well done, Dan. You've qualified beautifully.
All right, Dan. Listen to Dits here. To win $1,000, you've got to get 10 correct answers in 30 seconds.
Right. In 30 seconds, name 10 religions.
Christianity, Islam,
Catholic.
Catholic, Judaism, faith. Hinduism, Skeptic, Roman, Buddhism.
Bad luck, Dan.
Pretty good effort. Very good effort there.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Correct.
Oh, 8 correct, mate. Well done. Very good effort.
Did all the hard ones.
Yeah, you did. Hey, we're going to send you off to see the Virgin Australia International Rules Series on November 12 here at the Adelaide Oval. So go and see Australia's best footballers
in action.
That's
this Sunday, isn't
yep,
it?
Yep, Sunday coming up at the Adelaide Oval.
Well done, Dan.
The one religion he left out was Port Adelaide. My religion.
Yeah, that's dodgy, that one, isn't it?
7:07 it is here. Hey, in a moment, Roo, there's a push to change menus, and I'll tell you how. This could affect you with you being a pub owner.
Yeah.
I'll tell you how. They want more information on our menus. I don't know if it's a good idea or not. We'll investigate this next here on Triple M.
Triple M.
Hey, Roo, there's a push for restaurants, pubs, bars, everyone, to actually have more information on menus. Now, at the moment, if you walk into, I can think of McDonald's, for example, it's always up there. If you order a certain hamburger, it tells you how many kilojoules you're about to eat.
Really?
But we don't get that in restaurants. Now, you owning hotels, mm-hmm. this could affect you.
Yeah, well, it could if it was enforced, I guess. I'm not sure really whether people would want it or not, though, would they?
Oh, people like to know what their intake is, I think. Yeah. It's not for everyone, but Matt O'Neill, we've spoken to quite a few times, dietitian from Metabolic Jumpstart. He's Australia's top nutritionist. He joins us now. Matt, good morning. Just a reminder, Matt, how many kilojoules are adults meant to eat per day? I think it's different for men and women. What are we meant to eat?
Yeah, it is. You'll see on food labels and some posters around that the average person eats 8,700 kilojoules, which is about 2,200 calories, but a lot of people are trying to lose weight and they're not moving as much. So it's probably a bit lower than that. So for men, it's probably about, 7,500 kilojoules, and for women, take another 1,000 off that, 6,500.
Right.
So when you go to a restaurant, say, and you see, oh, will I have that, donut topped with all these flakes and ice creams, and it says like 3,500 kilojoules, you can see, boom, there goes half your day's intake straight away. So that's what this study found, and people sort of just made them pause and think, will I have that? Is it worthwhile?
That 7,500 kilojoules, what sort of size bloke's that for?
Look, that's probably for the average bloke, about 75, 80 kilos.
Is that average, 75, 80? They're jockeys out there.
They eat that.
Well, I'm saying the average is, it's meant to be in that, there's a fair few guys hitting 100 kegs around the place, and it's probably not muscle as well.
Jeez, so, my left leg weighs that.
There you go. Well, you could probably polish off more kilojoules, but that probably lulls into that false sense of security as well, that you can burn it off. But, I have a thing with my clients. I say that, if it's a couple hundred kilojoules in a snack, it's a couple of pieces of chocolate, you can burn it off. But when you're looking at 3,500 kilojoules, it's just got to be, it's not worth it. It's too much. I'll never burn it off in my life.
Right. Now, Matt, realistically, let's say, like, Roo here owns a couple of pubs. Each day you put out your specials menu, and let's say hypothetically today it's I go to your pub, Roo, and there's Coorong mullet, beer battered, and it's got a tartare sauce with it, and it's got a coleslaw on the side and chips. How will a chef, Matt, each day know how to calculate the kilojoules
good
in that
point,
and get it ready for the specials menu?
Yeah, it is a good point as well. I guess standardised meals and that at restaurants make it a bit easier and that. And I've done some work with a couple of restaurants to, run it through the computer, come up with the kilojoules. And the interesting thing was they put on a few meals which were sort of lighter ones, with more salad, a smaller serve of meat. So in some cases it was just cutting down the serve size of the meat. And it was a real winner because they just promoted it. They put a different logo on it at their restaurant, and it just appealed to that kind of diner. Let's say a family goes in and mum's watching her weight. She can go in and have a lighter meal, whereas, you know, Bob the hubby, he might want to go in and have a, you know, steak and chips. And it just lets people choose a bit more. And you know, bottom line was, it actually got a few more people in the door because, you know, somebody said, oh, no, I'm not going there because there's only, you know, a bunch of junk and high calories. They could get a salad and a bit of salmon, and that met their needs. But I do appreciate from restaurants and that, you're thinking, oh, what do we got? We got more red tape and all this sort of thing. But we do have an obesity crisis at the moment. To be honest, it's getting out of hand, and people have to make choices. But the government really needs to step up and help. You know, sugar tax, better labelling, combination of that. We need all hands on deck to actually fight this obesity issue.
How strong are you on the better labelling and the sugar situation, Matt?
Look, with sugar, I'm pretty strong because if you think of anything else that you eat protein, you get some vitamins, minerals with it. You eat sort of complex carbs, you get some fibre. But sugar, you don't get anything. You just get calories. Just get a bunch of stuff that your pancreas and your liver can't handle. And what we're seeing now is, not governments necessarily, we're seeing the community say, in hospitals, sporting groups, you know, not selling bunches of sugary drinks to the kiddies. We're having mums and dads in groups now saying, we've actually had enough of this and we're going to take a move ourselves. And we've never seen that before. So that's really good. And that's because everyone's on Facebook and online communities and everyone sort of has a voice now. So it's great to see mums and dads and communities saying, hey, we can have a make a stand. And, you know, I'd say the sugar thing's got more legs than this labelling thing because people just had a gut full of sugar, I think.
Matt, good on you, mate. Thanks for joining us. So, you know, on paper it's probably a good idea, Roo, but it might be a bit hard to implement, I think. Matt O'Neill there, a dietitian from Metabolic Jumpstart. And I'm just glad to know that you and I are average size, 75 kilos.
My wallet weighed that after Lavendi won.
If you don't mind. Hey, Roo, in a moment, one of the best shows on TV for a long, long,
actually,
long
time. I might
time,
get exposed on this.
It's heading to Australia, all right?
Mythbusters.
Mythbusters.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Roo, a show that has just fascinated me for years and years and years, is Mythbusters. And this is very exciting. One half of the great duo, Adam Savage, is touring Australia soon with a mate of his, Michael Stevens. He's coming to Adelaide Wednesday, January 24 at the Entertainment Centre. And he's on the line now all the way from San Francisco. Adam Savage, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, yeah. Thank you. Adam, some of the stuff that I've seen over many, many years on Mythbusters, I'm a little bit worried that you'll be doing these things on stage. How dangerous is it?
It may feel dangerous, but I assure you it is not dangerous. We do actually wrap up the Brain Candy live show with an explosion.
Beautiful.
And it's pretty spectacular.
The kids love it, do they, Adam? Is that who it's aimed at, or what's your target market?
No, we've written this show for everyone. We've tried to write it on what we call a Bugs Bunny level, so that there are jokes that play to the younger set and to the adult. And when we look out into the audience and we see everything from 7-year-old kids to 70-year-old engineers, it is a singular pleasure to see the spread demographic.
Tell us a little about Michael Stevens, who you'll be doing this show with.
Well, Michael has built his YouTube channel Vsauce into an incredible behemoth. He's got something like 13 million subscribers.
Wow.
He's a master communicator, specifically about science. And it's not what he set out to do, which actually is something that we both share. He also has this wonderful, curious energy. So that being around Michael Stevens is very similar to watching one of his videos in which he's investigating what it really means for two objects to touch on an atomic or even quantum level. And he's been an incredible collaborator for Brain Candy Live. It has been so much fun to write this show with him and to perform it with him.
Adam, I've got a very young family. I've got 6 kids under 10. They like doing a few crazy little things, some of them. Have you got a little trick or a gag or something I could do for them? Like, could you explain one over the phone to me now?
Absolutely. Actually, if you come and see the show, you will get to see we built a vortex cannon on stage out of a garbage can and some heavy tarp plastic that can fire smoke rings dozens of feet. And that's not even the biggest vortex cannon we have in the show. And
wow.
If you come see the show, you'll see exactly exactly how to build one with your kids and to play pranks with them from across the yard.
We could shoot your kids all over the suburbs. That'd be fantastic.
Beautiful. Yeah, love that.
Yeah. Hey, Adam, over the years, one of the things I've liked about your show is that if you attempt to bust a myth, and if it doesn't quite work, you tweak things and you do it again, and you might tweak it a third or fourth time, and you keep trying until you achieve the outcome. What's been the one that absolutely, or maybe a couple that surprised you over the years where it sort of went the absolute opposite to what you thought it was going to be?
Well, we were trying one in the very early days. There's a myth about that airplane companies used chickens and fired them from a cannon into their windshields to see if they could withstand a bird strike. And there's a famous story about a European company that wanted to follow Boeing's example, but every chicken they were firing at their planes was going right through the fuselage, through the windshield, through the cockpit, and it was causing untold damage. And apparently when Boeing saw this, they said, "Gentlemen, thaw your chickens."
Yeah.
And so we wanted to find out, is there a difference at 500 miles an hour between a frozen and a thawed chicken? And it took us 2 weeks and four completely separate tests to figure out exactly how to quantify that difference.
Wow.
Because it is the same amount of mass traveling at the same speed over the same area, and yet our intuition told us that there was a difference. We weren't able to experimentally isolate that difference until we lined up 10 sheets of plate glass, and we saw that the frozen chicken went through all 10 of them, and the thawed chicken went through only about half of them.
Wow.
And that was our final experiment.
I like that.
And a very good morning to the vegans listening as well. Now, Adam, what about the old age story about what would hit the ground first if you dropped it off the top of a building, a ton of feathers or a ton of lead?
Oh, no.
Surely it's the same, isn't it?
Well, if you have atmosphere, it's going to be a ton of lead because it has very little resistance. Yes, but if you're on the surface of the moon, there would be no difference at all.
Rue,
right.
We have just had a myth busted live here on air.
So resistance comes into consideration.
This is the sort of stuff we're going to learn. Hey, Adam, we are really looking forward to seeing you. I think this is going to be very entertaining. And quite rightly, it's at the Entertainment Centre here in Adelaide, Wednesday, January 24. Adam, thanks for talking to us. We look forward to seeing you down under.
My absolute pleasure. I love performing down in Oz. Mythbusters was produced out of Sydney, and it's a deeply Australian show in its DNA. So I can't wait to see you guys.
Fantastic. Good on you, Adam.
104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M with Ruined. It's now Rue. The fellow we're about to interview has released a book. It's called A Hard Place, The Rise of Street Gangs. Now, Brett Stevens, would you believe, worked in the New South Wales Police Force in the notorious era of the King's Cross.
In the 90s.
Yes, that's right. He then went to the United States and started to study things like gang ethos and how and why gangs work.
Interesting.
And he's got a real interesting story to tell, and he joins us. Brett Stevens, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
What is it that you found the most fascinating thing about gangs? Why did you want to actually go and, you know, learn about them and find out how they tick?
Well, first of all, we weren't really experiencing the whole gang situation in Australia like they were in America. And because I'm married to an American, I was spending so much time there. I had the opportunity to spend all this time with the anti-gang units, particularly in the LAPD. Over that period of time, my solution, and I think most police officers' solution for the gang problem, was for them to kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
That was our ultimate solution, or themselves to shoot them. I mean, you know, because 80% of the shootings in America are by gangs on other gangs.
Right.
Okay. And out of that 10,000 shooting deaths, this is shooting deaths alone, was it 9,500 are by pistols and only 500 by rifles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And who loves pistols? Gang members.
Yep.
I had this opportunity to work in a group home, so to live with six gang members from the most notorious gangs in America, probably the world, which is the Bloods and Crips, Norteño, Sereno. So they're black gangs and Mexican gangs.
Wow.
And these guys have all been arrested for drug dealing and violence and gang activity, but virtually all of them had shot people or been shot, okay? But they hadn't been arrested for it. And
they hadn't been arrested?
No. And I started to warm up to the guys, you know, from this previous view of letting them all die or go to prison forever, that this one member who was a Sereno, Casper, he looks at Rascal and he goes, "Rascal has shot 20 of my guys." And then he looks at me and says with a shrug, "And I've only shot five of his." And he actually felt pretty embarrassed by that. But it shows you the mindset. These guys are totally drunk on being gang members. They love it.
So therefore, on a daily basis, these guys don't get up and go to work, and then they go and meet up with their gang after hours, do they? I'm presuming. Is this a full time life for them?
Yeah.
So how do they survive? Is it on the drug trade that they survive?
Absolutely. And that's where I, after a period of time, I started realizing that if it wasn't for the drug trade, which is the cartels operating out of Northern Triangle, you've got the Golden Triangle in Asia and the Golden Crescent in the Middle East. If it wasn't for those guys, most of this wouldn't be happening.
Mm-hmm. Right? So would you legalize drugs in that respect then, or not? Is that too broad a question?
It's not, because I actually, in the book, I come to this conclusion, because I had this moment where I said to the guys, you're wasting your life. You're just being used by the cartels who want to move product. And without these guys on the ground, they wouldn't have access to market. And so proactive policing, all that kind of stuff, yeah, fantastic. But at the end of the day, the only way you're really going to defeat the gangs is to take the cash flow away from them, or at least the majority of it. And that is to either go to war with the cartels. I mean, like, militarily, don't rely on the poor old Mexicans to try and do it themselves. They can't. Or you illegalize it, you criminalize, legalize it, all or in part, and then manage it. Treat it more as a medical issue.
It's an interesting one. Interesting question. Why do people in Australia, kids in Australia, adults in Australia, fall into becoming a gang member?
Well, being in a gang is sort of attractive to mainly men who want to be part of the team. They want the respect for it. There's also money. And also they desire a sort of a world of combat, of being a street soldier. For them, it's real and would have respect from other people. I mean, let's face it, you see, you know, rebels or comancheros, big guys, tattoos. People look at them and go, wow, look at those guys.
In Australia, are our gangs getting worse?
I say yes, because I only look at, well, where were we 10 years ago or 20 years ago? It's marching on. And as long as you have the drug market, the gangs are going to keep growing, right, and become more violent. Because you think about your neighbourhood where you live is owned by somebody. And part of this story was where my son jumped in to save this kid against these bikies, rebels, who, you know, even pulled out pistols and started pistol whipping this kid. And that's in Cronulla, right? And you're thinking, hold on, Cronulla's a very wealthy area. How come all these guys are in Cronulla? Because they own Cronulla. Mm. And they own the drug trade that runs through, and the extortion or anything else that's happening in there. I mean, just because you stop the drug trade doesn't mean gangs will disappear. It just means the heat. A lot of the heat would go.
Well, this will be a real interesting read. A Hard Place, The Rise of Street Gangs. It's a first-hand account of the spread of gang culture across the world, and the author is Brett Stevens. Brett, thanks so much for joining us.
No worries, mate.
Ruin Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
We had a bit of fun at your expense on Friday. Mel decided to do a new segment and really come back from Tex Walker and Bernie Vince catching you snoring over the last few weeks.
It was grand final weekend in Melbourne.
Wasn't it Bernie's wedding? Was it grand final?
Oh, you're right. Sorry, it was. Yeah.
Was it?
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, I had to decide to try and match a snoring sound with you, Dit. So let's have a listen to how it went.
Is it a donkey? Is it Chris Dittmar? Wake up, sleepyheads, because it's time to play Guess Who's Snoring?
Alrighty.
So I have four animals.
Good game.
Four animals. One of them is Chris Dittmar.
Righto.
So, Roo, you're the one contestant today in this game show.
I can win this.
Ready?
Yep.
First. Number one. Very regular. Shit. Very regular.
Yeah.
All right, number two. Similar.
That sounds like a hog or something. That's not me. No
you get
way.
A bit of pig about you.
No way.
We should have got Kate on as well.
Yeah. All right.
Number three.
That
sounds painful.
Oh, no.
Oh, someone's got a deviated septum. All right, fourth and final, Roo. Store this one away, see what you think. All right, Roo, go for it while they're fresh in your mind.
Oh, I'd have to go C, I think, wouldn't I?
C, three?
Yeah.
what a pioneer he has.
So you're comparing me to those three things.
Yeah.
That's a disgrace. All right, so that was Friday. Right. Yeah, you got it right. You picked the right one.
Remember, we went to the State of Origin Rugby in Sydney, and I had to record you that night because we were in two single beds next to each other, and you were unbearable, Dits. Mm. Unbearable.
Anyway, out of this, we had a bit of a reaction Friday. What we're thinking, we want to help the women of Adelaide because there are some bad snorers out there, myself included. So what we want you to do, you explain, what do they need to do now?
Like is for people to record their husbands, boyfriends, dads, grandpas, whatever, sons,
and send it in.
Yeah, so go to your smartphones. You have voice memos where you can record things. There's an app there. Go and use that. Record the snorer, expose them.
Yeah,
and then email it to snoring@triplem.com.au. snoring@triplem.com.au. Real easy to follow. So record it and send it into snoring@triplem.com.au. And we want to find South Australia's worst snorer.
Now, we do feel sorry for the ladies out there that have to put up with this and don't get any sleep or have to you get up and you go and sleep in the spare room, whatever you do. So if you record it, our best one, we're going to do this for about 2 weeks, this week and next week.
Yep.
And our worst snorer, we're going to send you off for a good night's rest somewhere. You and your best girlfriend can go to. We'll send you to a hotel. We're working it out today, but this prize is real. We're going to send you off to a hotel for the night, say a Saturday night, head into town with your best friend and get a good night's sleep.
Yep, and you'll be able to crown your husband, father, whatever it is, South Australia's worst snorer.
Now, that the email address again.
Snoring.
Yes.
@triplem.com.au. Nice and easy to remember. Yep. Record it. Send it in. Okay, and let's expose these snorers.
Yes. Yeah, it's not good. Poor the ladies out there not getting any sleep.
Tomorrow night.
Yep.
If someone goes to the races,
tonight
if they just snore generally.
Yep.
If it's after, a few beers, tomorrow if they go out and have a big Melbourne Cup, could fall to sleep on the lounge at tea time easily.
Get them.
Get the voice memo recorder out and send it into snoring@triplem.com.au.
All right.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Rue, I was reading an article this morning of which I'm really, really guilty of, unfortunately. Things you should never say to a pregnant woman.
No, you try to be nice.
You're only trying to be sociable. Mel, the button pusher, is not far away from giving birth.
Less than a month off.
Right.
Any day now.
I've read these rules, Mel, and I didn't realise this was a no-no or a no-go zone. But, and I've said a couple of these things to you over the journey.
All right. I'll be able to remember which ones.
Oh, gee, he's going to be a bruiser, isn't he?
In other words, saying you're getting pretty large.
You're bloody big.
Yeah.
But I would have thought, we accept that women are big when they're pregnant.
Isn't this like defamation? Truth is a defence? Because it's true. I've got an Audi for the first time.
No, we're not saying you're fat. We're saying you've got a baby in there.
It's a big baby in there.
So is that offensive or not?
Not to me, not a bit. I think we're getting a bit precious about these ones.
Bloody hell, you're having triplets.
Yeah. And maybe I'm old school, but personally, I like the idea of a big buffer baby as well. Right. So I think it's a bit of a compliment.
We say it, as blokes we say it, because we think we're saying, obviously it's really healthy.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's big.
Or you're not far away or whatever, things
like
that.
Yeah, we're not saying.
Apparently these are all no-nos.
Well, I can say I love it because I'm with you. I want a big bouncing baby, but my mother's group with the first baby, if you said they looked big, oh my God. Mm.
So it's a girl-to-girl thing that you're meant to be a bit more complimentary, are you?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to hit you with these. Ones, right? You're not meant to say this. Was it planned?
That one probably should. I think Bruce said that to me, actually.
But that's
what?
You did.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, only because you said you didn't want to have one.
I was fairly adamant we weren't doing it again, and here we are.
Nothing wrong with a little mistake
that's
here
right.
and there.
Did you take fertility drugs?
Oh,
that one should be left well alone.
Dits, that is out of bounds on the floor.
All right, this one we've talked about. You look like you're ready to pop.
That's good. I like that one. Yeah. I've said that a few times.
Are you sure there aren't twins in there?
Dits, that's you.
This one, which, after a couple of pints, I might have said this. Can I touch your belly? And the worst thing about that, the girl wasn't pregnant.
No!
Now, what about this one, Mel? I didn't realise this was bad. Have you picked a name yet?
Oh, that's nothing wrong with
well,
that.
Well, it goes on. There are notes with this. It says they don't want your opinion. You know, they've been told every day what to call it. They don't need you, you know.
Get stuffed.
That's fine, isn't it?
Yep.
All right, the other one that I think pregnant women get sick of hearing is enjoy such and such now, because once the baby comes, you can kiss that goodbye. Yeah.
That is irritating, particularly if you've already got one, because people are saying, oh, get all the sleep in you can. So, I've got a two-year-old. Love that.
Yeah. No negatives, right. Thanks.
Next one.
Throw them around.
Hey, Mel, you shouldn't be eating or drinking that.
I've had that, and I've had that from waiters.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What about mother-in-law?
Which I didn't appreciate.
Is it big from mother-in-law
butcher,
or not?
When you ordered a butcher port the other day, they said you shouldn't be.
I did.
What did you
have
order?
Have a carafe of, no.
A glass of wine.
I think I had my eggs. They said, oh, do you want them cooked hard? I went, nah, it'll be fine. And they said, oh, you shouldn't be having runny eggs.
Oh, you're telling me how to...
Right, next one.
Reckon you should get me...
I never had morning sickness.
Good
for you. Are they painful or what? Then the next one, the woman that says, I was sick my whole 9 months. Righto. The next one. This comes up, I think, between...
Oh, no.
I was ripped open from end to end.
Do not say that.
Right, this one. Are you still with the father?
Particularly when it's from the mother-in-law.
Yeah. Oh, this is cruel. Moo.
Oh, yeah.
No, you look don't be nasty. Woman.
No, that's right.
Don't
be
nasty.
What else have we got? No, they're just about the best of them, I think.
No, so, there's a couple of others.
There you go. Maybe. Things that you just shouldn't say.
Oh, big shout out to the lady in the park when I was playing with the 2-year-old, and she said, come up on the slide with me, Mum. And I said, no, Mum's not coming up on the slide with you. And the woman said... you know, told me off for being lazy. And then she said, oh, I see you're pregnant though, and asked me when I was due. And she said, oh, you'll go early.
Right. Oh, so you're ready.
Everyone's
an expert.
Thanks, love.
I had someone, this is a lady talking, I had someone tell me that they couldn't picture me as a mother.
That's just mean.
That's a bit cruel, isn't it?
I think you can say anything so long as it's not cruel.
There you go. Things that you shouldn't say to pregnant women.
Thanks for
and
that
Dix
education.
Has said 95%
I've
of them.
Said just about all of those, yeah.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
7 Adelaide's Triple M. Roo, what's your luck been like with the Melbourne Cup over the years?
I
backed Maccabi Diva because it was South Australian. I reckon I backed Rogan Josh 1 year, but apart from that, I'm bloody hopeless every year.
It's the hardest day of the year to punt because you've got horses coming from all over the world and trying to match up their form is harder than ever.
Tell me about this bloke we're about to speak to. This is freakish.
Just for our Triple M listeners, we've found a bloke who's picked the 25 out of the last 29 winners of the Melbourne Cup. So his strike rate is outstanding. And when you've got a strike rate like that, Dits, 25 out of the last 29, you get a very good nickname.
Yeah. Does he own an island somewhere? Or
he probably does. We're going to speak now to Melbourne Cup Max. Melbourne Cup Max. Good morning.
Hello, Ruin Dits. Thanks for having me on your program.
Who named you Melbourne Cup Max?
Chris Smith, actually, from 2GB in Sydney.
All right.
You're not totally correct in what you're saying. Let me correct that. I have a system for picking the Melbourne Cup winner, and the system has worked for 25 out of the 29 years. Let me explain the system to you.
Right.
Okay.
Because anyone can go to my website and download the system for free. I work on the Melbourne Cup all year round. It's the only race that I'm interested in, but I'm seriously interested in it, and I study it all year. I endeavour to break the field down from 24 runners down to 6 runners and say, okay, and this came about because my mother-in-law used to always back the winner of the Melbourne Cup years ago, and I said, how do you do that? And she said, oh, it's very simple. I just have a dollar each way on every horse. And I wondered how many mother-in-laws are out there doing that. And I thought, I wonder if I can break it down for them. Instead of having to back every horse and they've got no chance of winning, maybe just bring it down to half a dozen horses and say, have a dollar each way on each of these and you should be able to say I backed the winner of the Melbourne Cup, which so many people, that's all they want to be able to do. It's a pride thing. So each year I break it down to 6 horses and I say, and I believe one of these six will win the Cup. That system has been right for 25 out of 29 years. Then I break it down to a trifecta. Then I break it down to my main selection. And that selection has been right 15 out of 29 years.
Right.
The main selection. If you pick one out of the field, you're saying you've been right 15 out of 29.
No, I break it down to one out of six.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Still out of field, of course.
Right. Yeah.
I break it down to six. Then I break it down to three. Then I break it down to down to one. Haven't got the trifecta yet.
Right.
I got first and second last year. Didn't get the trifecta.
So you had Prince of Penn. No, last year was Almandon last year.
Almandon, yeah.
So you're happy to share this. You say that we can download your system for
you
free,
can download the system and have a look at it. It that doesn't give you, you know, you have to make some value judgments in the system. And about, you know, will I select this, will I select that? But it gives you an idea of what I go through each year.
Yep.
And if you follow that, but I've got to say to you, there's a hell of a lot of work in it.
Melbourne Cup Max, can you pay for your tips or not?
You can download, well, yes, when you go to the page pickthecupwinner.com.au, we actually sell an ebook each year at the site, and yes, you can download the system, and you get access to the members only page.
How much does that cost, Melbourne Cup Max?
$9.95.
I'm doing it as we speak.
$9.95. That is cheap, Max.
Yes, I've had a lot of people say that, but it's a lot of fun. I just enjoy doing it. I am a nutter.
Have you always been good at maths?
Not so much, man. No, I was in that 50% of the class that made the other 50% look good.
Right.
We're in that too.
But I am, you know, so much so I memorised the first, second, and third for the last 100 years. Don't ask me why; it just seemed like a good idea at the time.
Hey, Max, we're going to ring you tomorrow. We're going to try. I know you'd be really busy on Melbourne Cup Day. We're going to try and get this winner, and we're going to see if you get it right. And we'll replay it on Wednesday after the Cup.
Okay,
Max. Thanks so much for talking to us, mate. It's an interesting story, and we'll follow you with interest. Thanks so much.
Okay, guys, thanks for having me on your program.
There you go. His name's Max Hitchens, Melbourne Cup Max.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
I need to move on to something far more important, Ru. Now, I mentioned this just moments ago. People like the Queen and Donald Trump and Michael Hutchence have been named. Trumpy's been named, I believe so. Fake news. This is inside the tax havens of the rich and powerful. And you know that many, many people have havens, tax havens, Ru. There are many famous places around the world, the Channel Islands, you can go to Bermuda and Hayman, you know, all of these places.
Canary Islands
up in Queensland. You're thinking of the Cayman Islands. Right, get your tax havens right, will you? Anyway, tonight on Four Corners, Marion Wilkinson, she's the reporter, but they're saying this is the biggest ever leak, 13 million documents. Let's go to Marion Wilkinson from ABC's Four Corners right now. Marion, good morning. How did this all come about? Who got hold of all of this information?
Well, a German newspaper, Süddeutsche Zeitung, got hold of them, and they're a partner of a group that we're involved with called the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists. And so they said, would you partners like to help us try and work through these 13 million documents? So that's what we've been doing for the last few months. And it's pretty mind-boggling, I have to say. But there's some very interesting stuff in there, including, of course, you mentioned the Queen, which I think was one of the biggest surprises, that the Queen has got somewhere along the line, her personal estate tipped into a Cayman Islands fund. Turns out one of the investments in that fund was from a very predatory loan company that had been making high interest loans to disadvantaged people. So a good look for the Queen.
No, she wouldn't be happy with that. But are we saying these are illegal, or are they just pushing the boundaries?
I think mainly it's just pushing the boundaries. And one of the things, of course, we're trying to do with these documents is to look at how the boundaries are pushed and ask two things, really. One, should there be a hell of a lot more transparency so the public knows what's going on? And for that matter, the people who are investing in these funds. And number two, do some of the laws need to be changed, especially the tax laws, to tighten this up? And I do know, because we had a long chat with the tax office about this, and one of the deputy commissioners is on air tonight. He's saying that they're making big efforts at the moment to get their hands on these documents because they're pretty sure that they're going to have big implications for some of their Australian investigations.
For sure. I just want to mention something about the Queen here, Marion, and this might just be a matter of opinion, but the British taxpayer funds the royal family. I don't know that they'd be all that excited that if you are funding the Queen and her family, that she then avoids paying tax. I mean, really, as I say, this is only a matter of opinion, but really, she should be paying tax. I understand tax havens.
Minimising her tax.
Yes, you can minimise your tax, but I think that's kicking it in the face of the British taxpayer, really.
Well, it turns out that the Queen is actually exempt from tax. She's allowed to voluntarily pay tax, which she does a bit of. But I think where this comes in, it's kind of more embarrassing for her, the fact that her personal estate has ended up being tied up with a fund.
Why would she need to?
That is a very good point. I think that is a very good point.
When you've got your own face on the actual bank notes, I reckon you could probably give a few back, couldn't you? The other interesting thing is multinational companies in Australia. Now, we've talked about this for a long, long time, that if we collected money off the likes of Facebook and Google and Apple and all of these big companies, we'd be far better off in Australia. Some of these companies are named as well, aren't they?
They are indeed. And one of the ones we're looking at in particular is a very big mining company who's in here, Glencore. Yep. But there's a lot of others as well. And it goes to this thing about, you know, what's legal, what we should actually be looking at to say we really need to tighten this up. And this, as you rightly said, happened last year with Google and Facebook, when it turned out that they were shifting all their profits out of Australia.
Yep.
And the government did tighten up the laws there, but it's an ongoing battle, really, and it's back and forth, back and forth. So I think that this may well give some more real public impetus to this and get the politicians moving again.
Now, I mentioned in the intro about Michael Hutchins. If we if we watch Four Corners tonight, any other big Australian names that we might be surprised by?
I think that Michael Hutchins is certainly one of them. I was surprised when I saw this because, you know, his estate was contested a long time ago, 20 years ago. There were very ugly battles over his estate. And then what happened was I was going through this material with a colleague looking at various celebrities, including Bono, and who popped up but Michael Hutchins. Mm. And it's in a weird company, in a weird tax haven in Mauritius, in the middle of the Indian Ocean. Yeah. And there's a whole saga behind that, and it's worth having a look at, I can tell you.
Poor old Hoax is not going to get come up again, is he?
No, I think this time poor old Holmes is not going to. I think he's well and truly done his 10 rounds of the kitchen with the tax office.
Yeah. Hey, Marion, thanks so much for joining us. This will be interesting tonight.
You're welcome.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing this on the ABC tonight on Four Corners.
8:30, Dits.
Yeah. And, Roo, as you said, look, there's nothing illegal about having
pushing the boundaries,
a company in a tax haven.
Yeah.
Nothing illegal. But it'll be interesting to see if we can get some of these multinationals to pay some more dough.
I'm going
to
watch this. I love this sort of stuff.
Yes, beautiful. Intrigue. Righto.
Get Ruin Dits for breakfast. Weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruin Dits for Breakfast Catch-Up at triplem.com.au.